This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
You're rolling with Jason and John. 92.9 FM ESPN. And we're rolling strong on a Tuesday. It is June 6th.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yes, yes, yes. Going to play for Team USA. That's a good development. Can use all the good developments we can get here in Memphis sports. Big news in the golf world. PGA Tour sold out. Sold out! They said they weren't going to take the blood money. Looks like to me, now that they're merging with LIV Golf and the DP World Tour, that they're indeed taking the money that a year ago, John, they said they didn't want to do. They said they would not do. Many golfers said, we will not take that money. We will not take that blood money. And now the guys who did take the money, they get to keep it. And everybody's competing. And listen, in the world of golf, you want all the best golfers out there, right, in the top events all the time. So that's it's a good thing. But for the folks that stayed and remained behind, based on, we're not going to do this. How they feel today? A little sold out? We'll get into it. Vegas goes up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup. Probably be all I'll say about it. John may have a little more. Apple made big news yesterday. Unveiled its first new product since 2014. I can't wait to break it down and see if we think it'll be a success. Ladies and gentlemen, John Martin is here. Brad Carson is here. And we're ready to rock on a Tuesday.
I appreciate your transparency on the Stanley Cup, man.
I'm all over it. 2-0.
So that's probably all I'll say. I like you. You kind of blew by it. You know, you gave out the info for anybody that might have been wondering.
Need?
You know,
here in Memphis, folks might not have known. I've given you what you need.
Yeah, they're kicking some ass. The Knights are.
That was the prediction.
I don't watch it, right? But I mean, I keep up with it. It's a championship. You know, I do not do anything with it.
Okay.
But I pay attention to it because it's a championship. But yeah, I like
good.
You
can tell us who
have
scored.
Nothing else to say.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I think it's
thought
the.
You're gonna have a little more.
No, it's the dude that used to play for Jeff's team. It's Jack Eichel. He used to play for this.
Look at you.
The Buffalo team.
Oh, that's a valuable contribution to the show.
Yeah, that's brutal though for Jeff because he didn't do anything with the. Was it the Sabres?
Sabres.
Yeah, he didn't do anything with them.
If I might add, there was some drama last night in the second period as Jack Eichel came off the ice after getting blown up.
I saw the shot.
I mean, this guy took a shot.
So you don't put your head down over middle ice, right?
No.
That's the rule in hockey that I didn't know, John, as you'll get leveled.
He came back out, though. That was the good news for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, but he's killing
tough
it
dude.
For them. And once again, just Buffalo team just, you know, it's
sad. I mean, you know.
It's very sad.
Them, you know, them Bills are adding folks, though. They're going to try to make
Have
Buffalo
you seen
proud.
That stadium?
You saw who they got, right?
Who's that?
Leonard Floyd.
Oh, they got Leonard Floyd.
9 sacks each of the last 3 years. That's a pretty good addition, John.
Yeah, no, that's and you would know firsthand.
And then $1.2 billion, to
that
your
stadium?
Point, Brad, on the stadium. Woo. That they've now broken ground on. That's your Bills update today.
All right, we got it all in.
Yeah.
And live.
Can't promise that it's the last time we'll talk about Buffalo because we'll be joined by Jeff Coggins at 125,
hey.
Moving him around, doing some things.
Good to hear him back on the airwaves today.
Uh-huh. Yep. He did get 4 weeks of vacation, or excuse me, 8 weeks of vacation in his new contract. And so he is clearly
it took like 3 days.
Utilizing it.
Yeah.
And so we will talk to him about, you know, success in negotiation, the art of the deal. You know,
why do you
how
make
you
the deal if you're not going to use the time? You know, it was only gone like 3 days,
it's
right?
It's a power move.
Oh.
It's
I'm not on that level.
Well, no question. Because again,
I can't understand it.
I'm not trying to give away Jeff's cards here, but Jeff has the ultimate leverage that None of us at the station have.
No, we don't. We haven't climbed the mountain like he has.
It has nothing to do with a. Well, it does and it doesn't.
It absolutely does.
It's a double-edged sword, though. It's that he's climbed the mountain and that he can threaten at any time to jump off of it. He can say, "I just retire." It's a hell of a leverage play, isn't it? If you don't give me 8 weeks, I'll just retire. I'm 60-something years old. I'm about to start drawing from Social Security.
Were you in his negotiations? It sounds like it. It sounds like you were reporting from them.
No, I certainly don't know anything.
Deep in there.
I don't know anything.
Deep in there.
We're not close like that. But I'm just saying, like, if I were him, I would just threaten to retire. It'd be like Brett Favre, you know? That's what I would do. So, anyway. But, again, you're trying to pry and get into personal stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
He's just going to join us at
rather than you offering it.
He's still on the payroll, dude.
Get out of that man's pockets and his leverage.
He used to. Yeah, no, he's doing great. He's going to join us at 125. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 1125, as she does every single Tuesday here on the show. So, that's the show today. As you said, Jason, we are rolling strong on a Tuesday in our brand-new Volkswagen Jetta. And wife loves it.
Oh yeah, she hadn't even talked about getting the Jeep. I think she may stay in the Jetta.
Yeah, I think the Jeep is more appropriate for you. I mean, I think it's a more
Professor
fitting.
Plum. I call it. It's purple.
Is it purple? Oh, the Jetta is purple.
No, my Jeep.
Your Jeep is black.
No, it's not. It's a dark shade of purple.
Your Jeep is purple.
I thought too, as I started the buying process, that the truck was black. It is not. You, though, the fact that we've gone through a whole year and I've had it on that lot, you are colorblind. The truck is purple. Maybe you should have put this in cap or no cap.
Bro, I am.
So we nicknamed it Professor Plum. The Jetta still has yet to be nicknamed. It's too new in the process. The Mazda was Dirty
life
Diana.
Has been a lie. I
know. You look at it and say, Raider, that's babe. Raider fan could drive around that thing. It's black.
No, I thought it was black, too. I'm also colorblind, though.
I want to take y'all out during the break.
Perfect.
We'll run outside and have a look at it again. You'll see. Y'all must think the thing's a chameleon. Like, oh no, you just thought it was black the whole time.
I thought it was black.
No, it's a deep purple.
I thought it was black.
Deep purple. I'm that like darker than Grimace.
All right.
Okay. All right. I mean, hey, you know, if you want to buy a purple car, man, that's on you. You know?
News today, the fact that the car is purple or that Liv and the PGA Tour merged. Bigger news.
I think it's the fact that the car is purple.
Now I see, that it's like a light bulb went off. You think it's something that you can now use as fodder and something to make fun of, so now you think it's actual content.
I'm more concerned.
No, it's not about the revelation of, I thought the car was black. You think it's something fun. A man would get a purple truck. See, now you think you have all this new content
and
jokes.
I do think that is interesting.
And you can see how the light bulb just went off for John,
I do think right above his head. The choice of purple is interesting, but I'm more focused right now on if we'll be able to reduce the choice of
miles that were on the car, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a look at it during the break here.
There is no review.
I'm telling you what it is. Not since the hash brown contest has there been such intrigue.
I remember that was good.
Every time you mention it, Brad just gets to cackling.
Well, it's getting to be
one of your favorite moments. Huh?
I enjoyed that bit.
It's getting to be about that.
Anytime I'm humbled.
Put the show on the map because in those early days, you know, we were trying to figure out, we were looking for the Godfather.
We must have really been struggling. It was a ratings grab.
We were trying things and we were experimenting. One of those experiments was the hash brown challenge.
Yes, and it was an absolute abject failure.
No, I disagree with that. He just couldn't complete the task.
John's right. The sales team had even come down here during the show since that time, right?
You know what I'm saying?
They separated.
Well, they work remote
They were so disappointed in what I had done. We had played it up so much.
I told everybody, high expectations for your palate.
I let a lot of people down.
I think the next challenge is, like, we always do these, like, we get in the summer and it's like, you know, we got to like figure out what we're gonna do. Like, didn't you say
you could swim
for like 8 hours or something? Didn't you say?
I don't recall that at all. But you've said dumb stuff too, like you could beat our boy in a
Riley Ferguson
in a 100-meter dash, which was a damn lie.
Yeah, well, you wanted me to run through the damn hallways here, you know? I mean,
just so I could time it and show that you wouldn't even be close.
Crazy.
Anyway,
nice
review.
Yeah, that was fun.
This is your life,
memory lane there. Yeah,
yeah. There are some other things that we need to touch on though, so let's do a little thing we call Cap or No Cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now, it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
You know, before one of your standard weekly bits, cap or no cap, was the hash brown challenge. I mean, there's no cap or cap, cap or no cap without things like the hash brown challenge,
right.
You know.
You're right.
And so here we are. Mikey Williams will be on the Tigers trip that's coming, by the way, in August. You can read about it at 929ESPN.com. He will be in the Dominican with the Memphis Tigers. Is that cap or no cap? John?
Yeah, I'm going to say that's cap. I don't know if he'll be allowed to leave the country at that point, you know, given the ongoing legal process. So, and I don't expect him to, you know, necessarily be with the team until that's sorted out. So, I'm projecting here. I don't have any information on, you know, how this thing is going to go, but it's sort of the same thing that we've been saying on Mikey for the last, you know, month and a half, that unless and until he gets these charges reduced or dropped, which seems like a, you know, a hope and a prayer in the state of California, then I don't expect him to be a part of the Memphis Tiger basketball team. I just don't. Now, I know Penny is going to say the right things in the event that it does happen, and Penny is a hopeful lot. He always has been. But I just feel like, given what we know allegedly occurred, unless there is some different information that we don't know about, that the defense attorney plans to present, again, that we would not know about, my default expectation is that Mikey is not going to be here, and I feel no reason to change that. So if he's not here, then he would not be on the Dominican trip.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat with you. Just going off the facts that we know, and Penny reiterated them yesterday when he spoke with the media out at the golf tournament, or at the golf event, excuse me, that, you know, he's waiting just like we all are on that preliminary hearing on June 29th. And he mentioned, too, that this would be, in terms of letting Mikey in, everything else would be a decision that goes above him. Obviously, we talked about that, especially if you're going to have a, you know, charges pending, whether it's felony or whatever else, they get dropped down. Like, the president's going to have to weigh in on this. The other thing, the only thing I would add to what you point out is that there is pressure in the sense that the numbers of scholarships available are getting lower. We've discussed this. Brad and I went through the lineup. We did it again yesterday, especially if you're now with David Jones in the fold and saving one for DeAndre. You don't have much wiggle room now.
Yeah.
You may need Mikey's scholarship,
yep,
is my point. Based on where you are, what you still need, whether or not Penny thinks he's okay at point guard with Young, you know, is Mills the backup? Are you set there?
Well,
you
to that point, as you mentioned, Mongolian Mike has a top three.
They're still recruiting.
Memphis is in it.
And so you're going to need another. That's the other layer to this, is at some point, Penny may be in a position where you're forced to move on just because of the scholarship crunch. You ain't got three or four left. You know, this thing's about done. So you may need Mikey's scholarship. That's the other, you know, sort of thing pressing down on this decision. And so I'll go with just, based on all of those factors, that, yeah, it's tough. Now, I will say, I'll just throw it out there. You know, Go Tigers 247, our man Leon Taylor, we had him on last week. He was saying, you know, the first to publicly post about DeAndre Williams, says he feels good about it right now. I think that's just worth throwing out there. You know, he talks to Penny and some of those folks inside. So, but the factors, everything going against you, including the felony charges that have not been dropped to this point, and it doesn't look like anything's happening before June 29th. I think it's a tough call to think Mikey's going to be down in the where are they going?
Dominican. Isn't that where you went like a few years ago? Didn't you go to the Dominican?
No, we did Puerto Rico. That's where my wife, yeah, that's her folks. And we've done, you know, a bunch of Caribbean, but we've never done Dominican Republic. I hear it's good.
It's affordable.
It's a super cheap trip, yeah, and you can have a blast,
yeah,
on very little money. Yeah.
Well, that's why Memphis is going.
Thank you for that, John. Cap or no cap, Memphis is going because this is cheap.
Yes.
This is actual information.
Well,
we're
I think
a low budget.
I mean, Penny's telling.
I mean, it's always been. Yeah, Penny's talking to you about how tight things are.
Yeah.
You know, we know the deal.
I don't think it's low. I think it's just you have choices, though. You have choices, right? You make economical choices. You know, it's like.
I mean, Josh and him went to Canada.
Right. It's better than that.
It is.
It's better than Canada, for sure. I mean, it's less expensive than Canada, but it's better than Canada.
It was, I mean, that is as cheap as it was.
Yeah. I mean.
Do the Tigers still get to fly charter, y'all?
No, I think they have to fly Allegiant. I think they have to wait there in the...
That's not true.
So they fly private, like their own plane, like they used to back in the good days?
Yeah. That, the only, that,
you got Brad thinking we're a penny operation
now, bro. I thought
we were
a poverty franchise all of a sudden.
Like, literally think we're a poverty franchise now, man. Why you got Brad thinking like that, bro?
I don't know.
I mean, that's what I got there.
We just got David Jones, and you see that? That took some NIL. We got some money laying around.
Well, we may not have any extra money left around for the plane trip.
Wait till June 10th when we collected these millions over at Penny's house.
They fly us.
The folks dropping in $1,000 a piece.
They fly Frontier, bro. They fly Frontier to...
Go to the next one, man. This fool
Xboxes. Okay. Yeah, now, let's go to the Jared story.
You know he will believe you.
They fly cargo, Brad.
I'm listening as a listener, John Martin. No, Mr. Hyperbole. I'm trying to figure out what they do.
I'm trying to help you understand. They fly in the
poverty.
Back of the FedEx plane
Why
for cargo.
Why are we a poverty?
No, we're not.
Why is our college a poverty
I just hope they don't
sub-major
have to like, delay a game next year because they miss a flight or something.
My goodness, John Martin.
Weather
all
or something like that. That's all you, man. Nobody here ever said they didn't charter.
Let's go.
So they don't charter. So they do charter.
Yes.
Still. Okay.
See why you shouldn't have done that. Go ahead.
The truth sometimes gets. I get confused. I'm old. Jaren, he's going to be a FIBA player this summer. Will it benefit Jaren Jackson Jr. by playing for the FIBA national team and possibly playing in the Olympics for the U.S. team next year?
How does it not? I think that just the level of confidence you get from playing with your peers, your elite level peers, and something like that. Brandon Ingram, who else on the team, John? You got to anyway. I'll say my spiel. Maybe find some of the other guys. But there's a confidence that comes with that, with training with those guys, with practicing with those guys. And if it's a setup for the Olympics next year, having some of those guys in the fold, then hopefully, too, that's a shot for Jaren.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram.
The young studs.
I think Anthony Austin Reeves.
You mentioned that yesterday. Yeah. You were for real?
Yeah, dude. I was being serious. Austin Reeves, Mikal Bridges.
Good for Austin Reeves, but is he on that level yet? No.
Well, he's white.
No.
Bobby Portis.
Yeah, that is
white privilege.
You said it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have and a white so dude on the Olympic team, bro. It's like it's America. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, put Kevin Love on that thing again. Then
he don't want to play. He's over that. Doesn't he have a gold medal already?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, he don't have nothing to prove
something,
to you or anybody.
Something
FIBA
or something. He's got a couple of one.
But I mean, these are the guys who will ultimately be on the U.S.
Certainly
team.
In the mix for it. I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. is the best defensive player in the NBA, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
so.
Jaren will be an Olympic team player. How about that?
I think that's what we're setting up here.
Anthony Edwards, Jaren Jackson Jr. That's fun. Yeah, that'll be a nice little core there. Bridges will be a good player there for the U.S.
Last
Olympic
time you
team.
Had a USA guy felt like yours.
I don't think ever. I mean, because you had Powell, but he was Spain.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I think this is Santi will probably be for Spain, too, now.
Yeah, I saw that.
But, yeah, no, this is...
You know, Spain's rated number one. We're two.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No, I had no clue.
In the ratings right now.
How is that possible?
Spain got a squad.
Is that where Wembanyama's playing?
No, he's French. You know who he's going to play for.
What about Joel Embiid? Is Joel Embiid going to play for America? Wasn't that a... He got like dual citizenship, and the whole story was that he's going to play for Team USA.
Could use him,
yeah.
As we try to overtake Spain in the rankings.
Yeah, there's no way that the United States is not number one.
It's going to be great for Jaren. Late summer, hopefully in a very healthy off season for Jaren. This will be the sort of capper before he gets into training camp. Everything else.
Biggest national story of the day. PGA and LIV coming to a financial/legal agreement. It's basically a settlement. Cap or no cap, PGA Tour sold out their loyal golfers that stuck by the PGA side.
Guys like Rory
who didn't take the money. They stayed with the U.S., not the Saudis.
Well, Jason called me this morning just in a fit about this.
Oh, no.
He's very upset.
You were really shook by this news.
Yeah,
it's huge news. The world golf.
Brandel Chamblee.
Overall,
it's good.
It's good news.
Jason couldn't believe. He's beside himself that Jay Monahan would
sold out
after all that talk.
Yeah, all that talk and just
seriously
9/11 Saudi money, blood money, all that. He'd been talking all that for a year.
Yeah, look,
I mean it's still there. Yeah,
I mean, did they do it? Yes. Is it predictable? Yes. I mean, it's. I'm not super familiar with the antitrust stuff. I don't really care about the antitrust stuff. This is not a story. Like, even when we were talking about this last year, whenever it was formed, I was like, you know, we're getting ourselves in this tizzy about who's taking money from who. We don't know where our money comes from. We don't,
right. And we talked about the NBA and China and everything
exactly.
else.
Exactly. You start getting into policing, you know, who you allow to advertise.
And we said that last year.
Yeah.
That you can't hold it against these guys.
Exactly right. So it doesn't shock me at all that we get to a point where you just combine because you just don't want the, you know, the division there. So you, but again, I'm not.
Well, yeah, lawsuits and everything up in court and all that goes to bed.
The inner workings of it and litigation. Why this is happening. But I gather I'm supposed to act like I'm upset about it. So,
nah, well, that's if you, you would only be upset for the golfers that didn't go, that got.
Well, they'll
you
be
know,
all
now
right.
they got they'll be and they'll probably replace Monahan is my guess because they can't be too happy with him. And all of a sudden, too, Greg Norman's gone from the other side.
Yeah,
he was apparently informed of this after it was done.
He got his bag though.
But Liv won. Liv won. A lot of folks said it wouldn't. They wouldn't win, and the deep pockets didn't matter. Liv won. They've essentially turned the PGA from a what non for profit. Now it's a going to be for profit, like the players said. Stop keeping all that money up top. You know, base and saying we're non profit. Start filtering it down. Liv ends up winning in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, man, I mean, it's good for golf in the sense that hopefully now, and including in events like Memphis, you can have everybody.
If Memphis gets to keep their thing.
That's going to be a consideration. I would hope that they are, at least like, certainly for the time. And you have Fred Smith.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, you know, the
I don't think Memphis going to keep an event. How it, you know.
Well, right.
What the format of it is.
Who wants to play in it.
Because how
and
important this event's going to be is still up for.
Well, it's unfortunate because when it happened, when it was announced and it changed the format, like there were hopes of Tiger playing it and all these, you know, but it just really never took place like that. It never
hopefully it'll
came
remain
to fruition.
One of the elite events on the tour. I hope it stays that way. But changed before.
Now, Jason was very upset about this, and I think you can sort of hear it from him, you know, just the emotion teeming.
Now Phil, all those live guys and all that couldn't come now can come.
Yeah, I mean Rory
for the
still,
Memphis event.
You know, he's going to be okay. I think he'll probably be able to pay his MLGW bill, right?
Yeah, I imagine. Like I said, he's mad at Monahan,
and that's why he'll
talking all that stuff. Thought we were together, and you were making deals behind.
I just guess, like, you know, everybody gets on this pedestal, you know, on their high horse. But at the end of the day, whatever the sport is, whatever the industry
what's
is.
What's good for business is what you're going to do.
That's exactly right.
That's what the PGA Tour did.
And we said at the time, like, anybody in that position, for the most part, would have done the same thing, you know. And the guys that did what the average person would do are the people who won. I mean, you know, I mean, Phil all the other guys that took the cash. And
our man Varner got killed, called a sellout and everything, among others. But he and just won a live event a couple of weeks ago last week.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys get to keep their money. They won big. They won double.
Do you think that any one golfer, and I think the answer is no, any one golfer will go, you know, I'm going to really double down on my Saudi non-connection and not be part of this?
No, why would you not?
You don't think one golfer will say, screw it, I'm not doing it as part of the connect? Because in other words, when we say that the Live Golf won, you are saying that you are tied in with a lot of these things we've been talking about with the Saudis.
The PGA Tour just said. And if you're going to separate yourself now, you're going to be on an island. Because
the money is
now flowing.
I know, you're not taking any money. It's apocalyptic, but I'm throwing it. There are people that do things for convictions in weird ways. That's true.
Well, now they have no other options.
And they got sold out by the PGA Tour that said they were going to be behind them, those folks.
Yeah, like
they're going to be jumping right on in.
I guess it's not, and it's a separate thing. So technically, I guess you can sell to yourself, you know, I'm not working with a bunch of people who have foreign blood money, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like if you have a job that, you know, gets acquired by a different, you know, business that you don't agree with or whatever, and you have no other options, what are your options?
Jump off.
All of a sudden, you those convictions take second fiddle, a back seat to
what becomes
having to feed
of your
family.
Professional career if you jump off.
That's yeah, I mean, there's nowhere
else. If you've
weird
made
stuff,
enough money,
I mean,
and you got that conviction, you don't
you
want
retire.
To be on tour. Go ahead and retire.
Yeah. I take it this is just it's a separate entity. That's where I'm going with that. You know, it's not managed by Norman. It's not managed by. So I know it's a strange question, but I've seen this type of thing before in business. You know, where people go, I'm not gonna
all one big entity now collectively owned for profit. PGA, LIV, everybody.
Is it better for golf?
Yes. Because you have everybody in every event. Ryder Cup's now got everybody. Your back end, it's wide open.
Will charities suffer at all?
No.
Okay.
Not in the long run. Maybe initially. But again, everybody's backing down.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, look, it's an interesting story that everybody's upset about, but life will find a way to go on in the world of golf. We're going to come back. Jessica Benson will join us. We'll get her thoughts on the Grizzlies, on Jaren Jackson, his podcast appearance with Pandemic P, All that and more. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm Chelsea Messenger, helping you beat the books with BetQL. Tonight out west, we have what should be a pitcher's duel between Joe Musgrove and Logan Gilbert and the Mariners. Musgrove has given up one run or fewer in three of his past five starts, while Gilbert has given up two or fewer in four of his last six. Add in that the Padres are at home, where they've gone under 21 times in 31 games. Mash it all together and you have a recipe setting up well to take an under tonight in San Diego.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Diego.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with
CJ. Joins us every Tuesday here on the show, and she joins us now. Hello, Jessica.
Hello. Welcome back.
I am back. It was formative in some ways. I learned things that things that I should do, things that I should not do moving forward. You know, it's just like trial and error.
Okay.
Right,
that's travel.
We went a little back and forth on social media. You and I did, and you asked a fair question, which is, what does one do in Serbia? And the answer is, like, all I did was really drink various styles of beer, and their you know, every country has, like, their, you know, you must drink this spirit to become one with the culture. Right, like in America,
yeah,
that's Jameson or Fireball or something, and in Serbia it's called Rakia.
Rakia,
and it is.
Is that a dark?
It is dark, and it is like it's like
brown.
Plums, like your plums. Like your Jeep. It's like plums, and you, like, the crushed up, and
dark,
it's like
purple.
It's like a brandy. It's like a brandy of
okay.
sorts. You know what I'm saying? A little Moesha going on, and it was awful. It was disgusting, but I did it. So,
oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm proud of you. We had that when we went on our honeymoon in Greece. They drank ouzo, which is, I don't know, it's like an herby liquor that kind of has a faint licorice taste, but it grows on you. And by the end of your trip, you're ready to have it at the end of every night.
Wow.
Okay,
yeah.
Live it up.
What would be, if you come to America, what's the equivalent? Like what is it?
A Four Loko. Let's take it back.
They still sell those?
I
think the FDA might have banned those.
Yeah, I think some gas stations still have, like, a watered-down version of a Four Loko. I don't know. Would it be
Fireball? I think that might be too new.
I hate that, but yeah, I guess.
It's got to be something real trashy, okay? It's America. Don't forget.
A White Claw? I mean, that's not trashy. I would have a White Claw tomorrow.
No, it's got to be like a hard liquor that's going to, you know what I'm saying, that's going to make an impression and leave an indelible mark forever.
Yeah, and then I think it's got to be Fireball.
Is it? I mean, that definitely
old
would
cinnamon whiskey to
yeah
drive in the patriotism.
It can't be good, right? I mean, that's the thing. So I could recommend some good stuff, but I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you guys didn't give us the best
right.
stuff.
And it's got to be like a specialty. Like, it has to have a little flair to it, and that would be Fireball.
And it can't be tequila, because that belongs to Mexico. We would be appropriating
yeah, we
that.
Can't steal that. That would be inappropriate.
It's not an American. It's available in America, but it's not.
No, it's theirs.
Yeah, I think all of it comes from Mexico, right? Like, every single drop.
Yes,
I believe so. I think that's
and,
I think
and South
that's
America.
Law. Oh, South America too. I did not know that. How about that? So yeah, I think Fireball. If somebody was from, you know, like, if Mongolian Mike ended up coming to Memphis, and he said, hey, I'm trying to assimilate into, you know, Memphis and the United States, call, even though he's already here. I'm just using an example, okay? Whatever, bad example. But somebody from elsewhere, okay, from out of the country, Fireball, boom, you're American. You are as American as it gets.
Welcome to our culture.
Yes.
Just give him a Budweiser.
Yeah, but that, again, it's got to be something
yeah,
that's,
I understand
you know,
what you're saying on this.
But we
like
can,
a light, watery beer. I know, I'm with you, Jason. Like, that was my other option, like
yeah,
a light, watery
American
beer. That
gets.
Doesn't have a whole lot of, like, a substance to it necessarily.
We haven't canceled Bud Light or Budweiser. I'm just trying to keep up with the trends, man.
It's, you know, you get a little
for
Bud
survival.
Light, get a little Coors Light, get a little McUltra, whatever your choice is. Then you could give people an assortment. You could give them a tasting menu
right.
of light beers.
Welcome to America, where we do or do not
drink a certain type of beer based on like where and who they support. You know, so you
yeah,
got
to
you got to work through that a little bit. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's like a nice lesson involved too, because then you can't just have the drink. You have to learn a little bit more about the culture. I like it.
That's what I would do. I would lay out a flight of beer, and I would take each. I would go through each one, and I would explain the history. This is why Americans don't drink this beer. They support LGBTQ+. And then, okay, now I understand. You know, that's the American experience. It's hard for most to understand. I know, but this is what we do. Speaking of American and pride in being an American, how about Jaren in the on the FIBA team, on the U.S. team?
USA. No, I love it. I think it's awesome. It continues in this evolution of Jaren Jackson Jr. We've seen it here in Memphis as he's grown into himself both as a player and a representation of the organization. And you started to see that trickle into being more a part of, you know, the NBA brand and his place as the vice president of the Players Association, a first-time All-Star, finally getting the recognition as Defensive Player of the Year. It all fits together. And I'm excited that he gets to represent Memphis on a national stage and try to bring Team USA back to number one.
Me too. And besides staying healthy, what's the next step for you in terms of what you want to see from Jaren next season? We saw a jump, I think, especially offensively, and obviously you just said it. I mean, he's crowned as Defensive Player of the Year. But for you, what's the next step for Jaren in terms of on the floor?
The continued start to finish of a game productivity, both on the offense and defensive end. Obviously, you want him to stay full of health, like you said. I'm not going to lie. The first thing I saw with the Team USA news, I was like, well, please don't get hurt. Yep. But I think that's just like a natural assumption for anyone playing. But we see players both nationally and internationally do it each and every year. And so you have to be excited for this opportunity for him. And then how he can continue to just grow into his body and being the leader on this team. We saw time and time again as the Grizzlies shifted through, you know, a myriad of injuries. And when John Morant was out, the one constant was Jaren Jackson Jr. And he allowed this team to kind of shoot itself into operation at the next level. And when he is 100% focused and bringing a tenacious energy to his game, it's just, he often looks like the best player on the court. Now it's to get that consistency, right? Because yep. There are flashes where you're like, man, he should be the best player on the court. And if you can get that game in, game out, obviously it's hard through an 82-game season, but come postseason, that's an extremely valuable asset to have. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is, you know, once upon a time we called it the unicorn gang, and he certainly still has that potential to lead the way.
And in terms of the things he said with Paul George, I mean, there was a lot of it from, you know, back in Ja to saying, you know, we needed a humbling. We got a humbling. Anything in terms of what he said to Paul George in an interview that jumped out to you that you liked especially?
I loved the entire interview. First of all, shout out Paul George. That podcast is great. I've been, you know, privy to like clips. I think we all ingest a lot of player podcasts via whatever clips go viral. But I sat down and listened to the whole thing with Jaren start to finish and was just really impressed with like the tone of it and the storytelling nature and learning more along the way. And then I thought Jaren was just, you know, he said all the right things, both when it comes to the Grizzlies falling short of their ultimate goals and coming back hungrier. He stood up for his teammate, his friend, and Ja Morant. I think that's a tricky situation to be in, and it showed a level of, like, vulnerability and also accepting of the role of being a leader and, like, sitting down for a podcast where you know you're going to get asked about it. It's one of the biggest storylines in the NBA, and I thought Jaren was really poised in his answer and also, like, a good reminder that for him and for the Grizzlies, like all this talk happens peripherally, but deep down in that locker room, like they're going to ride with Ja. Like that's, in his words, their homie, their dude. And I thought it was just good to hear some positive conversation coming from, honestly, the people who matter most when it comes to the future of Ja Morant and that continuing support, because those teammates are going to be the ones who are there no matter how many games he ends up being suspended. We can sit here spitballing and speculating day in and day out, but it's his teammates and it's the Memphis Grizzlies who are going to be next to him on the court when he's back out there. So I just thought Jaren was like the ultimate pro, and I think he's so good in those positions, and I would love to hear more from him, but that was representative of how Jaren can just so positively represent the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I think we've reached the part of the news cycle where, and I know it's you know, the job is to get engagement and the job is to say things that will, you know, get reaction. But Kendrick Perkins' whole thing last week about, you know, if this happens again, he needs to leave the organization. Well, first of all, if it happens again, Ja ain't going to be playing for any organization. okay? Like, not for a long, long time. So that's the first thing. But it's like I distinctly, like, if anybody should know, it's Kendrick Perkins, right? I mean, did Zach Randolph come to Memphis and rehabilitate his entire life and career? I mean, how many I think even going back, like Jason Williams, you know, I think about off-color guys, Bonzi Wells, who came to the Grizzlies organization, who came to Memphis, and it actually ended up being the best thing for their careers, you know, as opposed to this has nothing to do. I mean, if you want to criticize the Grizzlies, you could say, well, maybe they should have pulled him aside, or but maybe they did. We don't know. You know, that's the only place I would hear it in terms of them being responsible for Ja's behavior. This guy's a grown-ass man. To lay it at the feet of the team, I thought was just he missed a mark, and I feel like as a player, he should have known better.
It was one of a myriad of
Second time
cringy.
You've used that. Second time, second drop. Second,
is that one of my glitches today?
Myriad, watch. We got to update the software.
My husband tells me that I'll randomly glitch on like SAT vocab word of the day. So I guess today is myriad.
That's the word.
Focus on not using it in anything else that I do. But what was your all the takes that came out about over the weekend. I think it's one of the things that happens, and it's one of the unfortunate like outputs of Adam Silver's comments. And I understand, again, someone who is going to get asked about it because he stepped in front of a microphone. And so you just pour a little gasoline that reignites the story, but without knowing exactly what happens. And so there's so much airspace to fill, and there's some pretty terribly cringy and off the mark comments that get made. And Kendrick Perkins was one of them. I mean, if you hopped on social media all weekend, it was just, I finally got off because I got so frustrated, and because everything that's needed to be said has been said. Like, everyone has given their take on it. It's now a matter of sitting back, folding your hands in your lap, watching the NBA Finals play out, watching to see if the Miami Heat go on to do the inexplicable and win a championship, or Denver wins their first championship. And when it comes down to the end, we'll finally find out what it was that happened to Ja Morant. But I'm with you, both of you. Like, it's just such a testament to the things that are clippable and buzzy, and those gain traction because they're easy to interact with in the social media world. Like, to bring it back to Jaron on Podcast P, like, yes, everyone wants to hear what he has to say about Ja, and everyone wants to know his comments on Dylan and talking about LeBron James and the old comments. Like, that's all there. But my favorite part of the whole podcast was him talking about his Michigan State dudes and talking about Zach Randolph and knowing Zach and Zebo more on the terms of, like, I've been in Memphis longer than I was ever at Michigan State. That's a fun little tidbit that I enjoyed from listening to the whole thing. So I guess my long-winded answer is always listen to the full context of everything. We would all be better for it.
Yep. Did what, you know, everybody had a certain feeling in terms of what they thought might be coming down from the NBA in terms of suspension for Ja. Did anything Silver say change you in terms of what you think might be coming down? And we had some, Chris Harrington, Marginato, I think that said, listen, I don't think this changes anything about, you know, what I think it's going to be. We had others come out and say, and even Windhorst says, oh, this means significant. And again, what that definition of significant is up for debate. But did what he say change anything about what you think is coming down or might come, what's going to come down?
Yeah, it was interesting. One, when he said what he said, and first reading the quotes versus listening to the quotes, mm-hmm. I was guilty of being a prisoner of the moment. I was like, oh, that sounds ominous. Yeah. I don't love that. Yeah. And then I went back and listened to it in its full context, and I would think, you know, maybe that doesn't change, but it's what you just said about Brian Windhorst and some of those names that are super tapped in to the league and their response and their feeling of, oh, this signifies that it could be something more significant for Ja. That maybe got my spidey senses tingling a little bit more, but I've kind of sat in the same space from the beginning, and it's a big range. So I've said 15 to 25, completely hypothetical. I don't know. We're recklessly speculating like everybody else, but it feels like there has to be that sweet spot number of something that signifies, yes, something was done and it was done wrong, but we're not going to go overboard with this either. And certainly don't want to take away a path of basketball for Ja Morant. That doesn't necessarily seem like the best path forward for someone who the game obviously means a lot. So how do you signify, like, you have to have a lesson to be learned, but also not going too far off the deep end.
You know, I thought when Woj came on, and I can't remember what day that was now, but when he talked to Malika and said, you know, the number 17, and how in his mind, and you know how plugged in he is, he thought 17 was significant because, again, it takes you out of all NBA consideration, those kinds of things, right? We know with the new CBA, you're going to have to play 65 for those that didn't know, a minimum of 65 games. And so that's the thing. I thought, you know, sort of his view of it, that 17 might be significant, might move the meter for some of those other folks. Because in my eyes, do you agree, Jessica? I think that's significant enough. Ja's not making All-NBA. Well, then you're getting into money and everything else in the future. Yeah. That's significant to me.
The second you're taking away extra monetary value, that would be significant. So that's where, like, the 15 would fall under that. The 15 to 25 would be more than likely within that range. And that's where I think if you're really trying to prove a point without taking away an excessive amount of basketball, that definitely drives the matter home. I saw something that, you know, I just thought was a curious addition. I think it was Anthony Sane who was talking about it on Twitter yesterday, but perhaps there's a set number of games and then maybe, you know, a mandated type of, you know, like counseling or mentorship or something within the community. I actually think that's awesome. Like, I think more types of quote-unquote punishment should involve things like that, because that's actually getting to the root of the cause and trying to grow as a person and continuing that maturation process. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's been a part of the conversations, but I did think that was an interesting anecdote that could be something down the line.
We are, of course, talking to Jessica Benson, host of the Jessica Benson Show on Grind City Media. Every single morning joins us every Tuesday here on the show. Little bit of turbulence for the Denver native here. I get that, as the Miami Heat have used a myriad of three-point shooters to even this thing up at one apiece. Can that continue? Do you feel a certain type of way after botching home court? What do you feel about this final series now?
Well, and they kept Nikola Jokic from getting a myriad of assists. And even though I know that Eric Spoelstra would come back and say this is not just about turning Nikola Jokic into a scorer as opposed to a scorer and passer, it plays a part. But I'm with you on this three-point side of things. Like, I ultimately think that's where the series rests. And the Miami Heat, what they've been able to do as the best three-point shooting team in the NBA postseason after being towards the bottom of the league in the regular season, it sounds like such a simple element to take. Like, either they make their threes or they don't. But I think either they make their threes or they don't. And it's a huge difference for them, and they get confidence when they see that ball start to go into the basket. You cannot tell me the difference of Max Strus going 0-9 in game one and then making 4 in the first quarter doesn't help instill a level of, oh, we're going to shoot the ball and it's going in tonight. And then you have that continuing to carry over into the Caleb Martins of the world, Gabe Vincents of the world, even with Duncan Robinson getting the basket, having those 10 points in the fourth quarter. So it's those other guys in Miami who, when they're on, they're on. I do think Denver's going to come out and show a significant response because, again, they are the best team on paper. How do the Heat keep getting away with this? It is a wild thing to watch, but it's so entertaining. Like, game 2 was an awesome game of basketball to watch, so I'm kind of hoping that we just get 7 of those.
I would love, honestly, like, I have either team. I'm totally, you know, it's rare that I am totally fine with both teams winning it. Like, I think both, if the Miami Heat win, I'll be happy for them. If the Nuggets win, I'll be happy for them. You know, like, I'm so impressed with, you know, Jokic and everything he does on the basketball court, and he's deserving at the moment. And I'm so impressed with how Miami seems to find these dudes, you know, in UC Santa Barbara, undrafted, and turn them into, like, competent players who make plays in the finals, you know. And Duncan Robinson was D2, D3, maybe even.
Yeah.
And he's scoring 10 points in the finals and flexing. Like, it's very rare that there are two likable teams in the finals, and I think that's what we've got. We finally have that.
That's a good way to put it. They are two likable teams and easy to root for teams. I'm also always, like, continuously rooting for the funniest storyline, and I think, unfortunately, for my Denver roots, for this 303 in my heart, the funniest thing would be if the Miami Heat went ahead and won this entire thing. So for the sake of comedy, I'm not against it.
That's right. Jessica, you're the best. Thanks for the
Thank
time,
you,
as
JB.
Always.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yep. She is Jessica Benson from the Jessica Benson Show on Grind City Media. Yeah, like, I think both teams are perfectly, like...
No, that's a good point.
Good personalities. Like, you know, we don't have any beef with any of them, so good with me.
Other than Jimmy, there ain't much to... just suck you in. It's really
sexy. Oh, no, that's true. I mean, in terms of the same for Denver, though. You say other than Jokic, it's like, let me get excited about, you know, Jamal Murray. I mean, I can. He's made some big shots. He's been good. But it's not like there's just – they're not – it's not dripping with star power, is it, by any means?
No.
But y'all didn't appreciate that Celtics-Warriors series last year either. Y'all didn't appreciate nothing. Y'all ungrateful.
Oh, we weren't far below that in terms of ratings, below the game
really?
One. Yeah, last year.
That's shocking.
Just a little bit. And the market argument, yeah, you have to throw it out the window.
I would say that's a disappointment for the NBA that last year didn't do better than it did.
100%.
Yeah.
Last year was down for the markets that you had involved.
Right. I mean, coast to coast, too, at that.
You were just under. We'll do it in the rundown. I got the numbers.
Okay.
You were just under last year's game one with Denver and Miami.
It's going to be
a smaller market.
It's going to be a very busy rundown. I can promise you that.
Oh, yeah?
Because there were a few topics that we didn't get to in the cap or no cap.
That's right.
That were arguably the most important. Societally.
But the golf one was important.
It was, and I know
that's a big story.
We had to get that one for you. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
But we have new information regarding potentially extraterrestrial
what
existence. Oh yeah. We have a potential game changer in the way that we interact with Apple and what they rolled out yesterday. So we have all that to touch on in the rundown, and we're going to do that at noon. Stick around, Jason and John. Turn FM, ESPN.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.